We are back, and you're listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm Garland Nixon here with my co-host, Dr. Wilmer Leon.
Thank you, Garland.
Josep Borrell, the EU's top diplomat, has admitted that NATO is losing the information war worldwide. Also, we discussed the latest news on the blockade of Kaliningrad. Joining us now to discuss this, we have Ray McGovern. He's a former CIA analyst and co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray, welcome back to The Critical Hour.
Thanks.
Many G20 diplomats are more concerned with their own national interest than punishing Russia with economic sanctions for attacking Ukraine, EU foreign policy chief Josep Borrell has said. Imagine that. He claimed the West was being accused of double standards and had failed to win a battle of narratives in relation to Ukraine. Ray McGovern, help us out. What's this mean?
Well, Garland, I was just at work on a piece that I think the title will be The Blinkens Leading the Blind. Now, I think I'm going to add Borrell. The Blinkens and Borrell leading the other blind. You know, nations tend to pursue their own special interests. They don't make enemies gratuitously for reasons that NATO would explain to them. And, you know, here is Borrell lamenting that, oh, these other people, they're more concerned about, quote, the consequences about the war for themselves. Wow, imagine that. Then he talks about the competing narratives. Of course, you know, it's not a matter of losing the competing narrative to Russian propaganda, and it's not a case of defeating Russian lies. It's a case of losing on the battlefield, and that's what Vladimir Putin and Lavrov have warned about. Putin, as recently as 3 days ago, saying, you know, the West wants to win this war in Ukraine on the battlefield. Let them try. And that's why it's a real tough narrative, because the West cannot win this war. And the sooner they come to realize that and take the blinders off the Blinkens and the Borrells, the sooner Ukrainian people can have some respite from this constant warfare. You know, there's a lot about Blinken that people don't realize, but I'll just mention one other thing, and that is the Iraq War, when the U.S. and the U.K. Went into attacked Iraq without any real legitimate reason. Now, I've always said that there were three reasons that could be described by the acronym OIL. O for oil, I for Israel, and L for the logistics base. So the U.S. coveted some military bases there in Iraq. Now, the O for oil was all important. The I for Israel was something that no one would mention, but it was Israel as the main factor, I think even more than the military bases or the O for oil that got us in there. And what kind of role did Blinken play in that? Now, this is 20 years ago. You know, people forget. Well, he was Joe Biden's staff director on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He wouldn't let people like Scott Ritter, who knew what was up there, who knew, for example, there were no weapons of mass destruction, that they had all been destroyed. He wouldn't let them testify. Why? Well, Blinken is an arch a neocon. What does that mean? A neocon has real trouble distinguishing between the interests of the United States on the one hand and the interests of Israel on the other. And I mention this partly because there they go, tootling off to Israel and other parts of the Middle East. He leading Biden by the nose. It's really, really getting complicated. And if we leave things up to Blinken, we're all in deep trouble. Blinken and Borrell themselves, and you know, include all the other lemmings who happen to be under Blinken's spell and walking blindly to disaster.
So Borrell also says that the G20 ministers from the Global South agreed in principle with the goal of protecting Ukraine's territorial integrity, but declined to support the Western response. Well, it's not only the ministers from the Global South, it's over 100 leaders in African nations that are declining to support the Western response. And this has, to your earlier point, a lot less to do with a narrative and a whole lot more to do with reality. They are looking at the long-term implications that this is going to have on their economies, on their abilities to provide for their citizens, and it's not in their best interest to back the United States play.
Yes, and I noticed that in November or December, under Kremlin aegis, there will be a gathering of African states. They have been up in Moscow probing this notion. They, too, are turning their back on the, well, let's call it what it is. It's the lily white West against people of color, the darkest in Africa, yellow, China. You get all kinds of blends in Russia and in the rest of Asia. So the world is divided here in a bipolar way, and I use that term in both senses of the word, with the lily white West, who used to have domain over most of the world, but no longer does and doesn't realize that it no longer does, and the rest of the world, who happen to be almost, well, mostly people of color. This is no good. This can only lead to what the Chinese used to call in their vernacular, this would lead to a no good end.
Ray, I want to throw this out at you. I'm throwing this at a lot of people today and my thoughts, and that is the issue of Sri Lanka. You know, we're seeing now pictures of, you know, chaos and mayhem, you know, pandemonium, as they used to, as Hulk Hogan used to say in WWF, in a country that has collapsed. I look at that, the first part of our discussion where we're talking about, hey, you know, Europe, things aren't looking so good for the future of Europe. Could that be the future of Europe we're looking at as the Dutch farmers are pretty much freaking out? And again, the people in Africa saying, hey, we're looking at Sri Lanka. The leaders are there saying, we don't want to end up like that. We're going to do what we need to make sure our, as best we can, to make sure our people have food and the basic necessities. So take this, what's happening in Sri Lanka, through that lens and add it to this conversation.
Well, I think the people in Sri Lanka are really obsessed with the notion that they've been ruled capriciously and unjustly for many years. It's hard for me to dissect whether this is a sui generis type of thing or whether it's a broader kind of movement. Suffice it to say that the Indians are right there. They are able and willing to suppress any real danger to India, which is all important, of course. And, you know, this thing will work itself out, whether it's part of a larger unrest. It probably is. But we won't know that until we see further demonstrations of this kind, where, as I understand, the government and the heads of government have had to flee because their homes and their offices have been occupied by the protesters.
Staying along that same line, as Garland is talking about or asking the question about could this spill over into Europe, I think the other question is, could this spill over into India, and could this also spill over into Pakistan? Because a lot of the fundamental issues that are impacting Sri Lanka are impacting the world, such as inflation, high energy costs, and access to food. And so one has to wonder, could Sri Lanka be the bellwether or the bell cow for India and Pakistan?
Well, that's true. In other words, we have to kind of see how the Indians react. I would say this, that Pakistan and India have shown themselves very wary of joining the NATO brigade, so to speak, the NATO narrative, if you want to quote Borrell, on Ukraine. They don't see it that way, and they have taken positive measures to buy more oil and buy more wheat from Russia. It's really not a neutral stance that they have adopted. So they have a lot at stake here, and they're going to try to keep things from reaching the boiling point. One way of doing this is buying the kinds of things they need from Russia. And this, of course, strengthens the Russian hand as well. Pakistan has a lot of resentment. I mean, the people, the educated people know there that the military still reigns supreme, and that, you know, whenever some upstart prime minister gets out of hand, whoops, there's a coup. And there was the equivalent of a coup just about a month ago. There are more people in Pakistan that resent that kind of thing now than ever before.
Speaking of boiling points, the presidents of Russia and Belarus, Vladimir Putin and Alexander Lukashenko, discussed a possible joint response to the blockade of transit to Kaliningrad by Lithuania, the Kremlin reported today. That is a very important issue and a very dangerous issue. Your thoughts on the Kaliningrad saga, Ray McGovern?
Yeah, it's I don't know if it's the kind of boiling point that we were talking about. I think the Russians have decided that the Lithuanian thing needs to be responded to in a low-key kind of tit-for-tat way. The latest threat is that the Russians would prohibit the transit of all kinds of goods from Kaliningrad to other places. The Russians even saying, well, this is okay. If we did that kind of blockade on rail and road, that would increase it would decrease the unemployment rates of our dock workers there in Kaliningrad. Now, I think the thing will become kind of worked out in a way that I think even the EU would prefer. You see, Lithuania does these things on its own. There's no indication that they even thought to check with either the EU or with the US. So what's that mean? That means that if a country like Lithuania doesn't even think to give Tony Blinken, our Secretary of State, a heads up, they feel they have carte blanche to do just about everything, to include poking the Russian bear in the eye. Now, Blinken, I just say one more time, he's clueless, okay? I mean, this is almost funny, but I'm going to add this because it came in yesterday. The State Department is offering a $10 million reward for info on foreign election interference. Whoa! Well, I'm wondering if Robbie Mook, the campaign guy, whether he's, you know, run to the State Department to collect this $10 million and say, you know, I've sworn testimony here that it was Hillary. Good God's sake. Yeah, Hillary approved this. So, hey, where's my $10 million? So, is Blinken so out of touch with what's going on in this country, so misinformed or underinformed, that he thinks that his effete elite reputation and credentials, academic or otherwise, can substitute for the real world? Well, I think he does. And we've seen that before, because it was the same kind of crowd that led us into Vietnam and kept us there, even though they knew it was a fool's errand. I'm talking about, among them, the former dean of Yale. What's his name? Mick something.
Ray, so when we look at Lithuania's actions, is this further evidence that Russia is not going to just be baited into a response, that they are calculated and their actions are calculated, and they're going to do what's in their best interest when it's time for them to do so? We've got 45 seconds.
In my view, that's exactly correct. They actually said that this will be a response that we have to think about and that it will be proportional to the offense. So there are many levers that Russia has with respect to Lithuania. And the notion that Russia would invade Lithuania, Latvia, or Estonia boggles the mind. I've been there. I've seen them. Why would the Russians want to take back those three countries? It boggles the imagination. And for Biden to keep saying that the Russians want to go farther than Ukraine, who's telling him that? Probably the blind Blinken.
We've been talking with Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst and co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. You're listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm Garland Nixon with my co-host, Dr. Wilmer Leon. There's more on the other side. Stay tuned.